Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2022. Today on the Ether, the Web3 Starter Pack, Standard Verbiage and Crypto Language, hosted by Kit Baroness. Let's take a listen.
Fortunately, the schedule spaces, reminders that people said they were looking forward to it, they informed me they're looking forward to it, but things happen. They can always catch the recording. This episode is episode 9 of Web3 Starter Pack. Today we're going to be talking a special edition on standard verbiages and crypto languages that people come across when they're coming in from, the general population for adoption purposes, what publications are currently out there, and what, just in general, like verbiages when people pop in and they jump into a space and communities. We hear certain buzzwords that can be transcribed into different definitions depending which community you're in. So in this case, this space is just meant to get to the nitty-gritty. People that want to pop up and ask questions, they can go ahead and raise their hand, request, or in the future, this will be turned into a podcast. There'll be questions and answers on the Anchor and Spotify account that you can go ahead and write questions to get answers back if you are curious. We got a special speaker, which is Robert. If you want to go ahead and discuss anything that you've come across, because I know that you're fairly new, not into the tech sphere, but you're fairly new and popping into crypto Twitter.
Yeah, so crypto Twitter confuses me because crypto I get, right? Working at the NSA, I understand the different algorithms and what we do to make things cryptified, right? But I get into these different spaces. I started hanging out with Solana folks because that was what I chose to mint my platform on. And, you know, before that, I hung out with the folks from ETH and hung out with some people from Ripple and, you know, Bitcoin. But each one of them has like their own little secret language. And to be honest, I didn't really try to learn the secret language until I started chatting with you, Kit, because you taught me the art of shitposting because I had no idea what that was. And so I've been doing a lot of that lately. And my man squeeze those taxes, but he ran off.
Oh, he'll be back. He's got to finish making dinner.
As Gary said, you know, he was out there in Miami doing the stuff, and I was doing that. And then you told me about the analytics on Twitter. By the way, folks, I don't Twitter, don't social media. I just started. And the reason is I work for the government, so I just kind of have a LinkedIn account. I started doing the Twitter like when it first came out and got off of it. Same with Facebook, and actually it was MySpace and Tripod. So all the years I've been off and on these things, but not really trying to build a business on it or build really lots of friends or do whatever people do on social media, because I just didn't get it. And part of it too is because what I told you earlier today, Kit, half the people don't understand me and the other half don't get me. So it's very, I'm very not more introverted than I appear. I force the extrovert in cases. But
I completely understand that for sure. Because when you are kind of, timid, not necessarily that's your personality, but timid because you want to read the room, but people just don't have that filter in their brain before they start speaking, and they just switch up the conversation every second. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, I'm not timid. I'm an army man. I'm strong on the inside, like a karate man cries on the inside. It's just people exhaust me. And in the space, there are so many people who talk about things they have no idea what they're talking about. It drains me. So I guess the most thing that confuses me about crypto or Twitter crypto, by the way, I just figured out like 2 days ago what TC stood for.
I don't know what that means.
Twitter crypto community. TC. Oh,
well, see, you just taught me something.
Woohoo. I forgot who told me that. I finally just said, what is TC? Oh, Twitter crypto. So is that you have so many experts that don't understand what blockchain is, and the term crypto is just being thrown around just like AI. You know, everything's an AI now. You know, AI / machine learning is one of the biggest things that bothers me, because machine learning is a subset of AI, just like NLP and genetic algorithms. You know, you have all these different parts. So it's not AI / NLP, it's just AI. And a subset of that would be NLP or machine learning. Well, same thing with crypto. They're just using that word interchangeably. And I don't think they know what that word means. So that's the thing that confuses me the most about this entire space, is where do they get their information? And why do they believe that the information that they're saying, all you have to do is read a book.
Yeah, it's almost like the early years when people associate that flies didn't be, you know, reproduce through larvae and so forth. They thought flies just grew from meat, because they just associate like, oh, I left meat on the counter, I looked back, and there were flies. Project, you have your hand up. Welcome. I appreciate you coming in.
No, I appreciate you bringing me up. And first, also, let me say hello to Squeeze. Sorry, I had to say it like that. So a couple of things. I think it comes from the insecureness of humans trying to pretend to actually know the topic in which it's being discussed at the time to feel relevant. And the reason that I say that is because for anybody to call themselves an expert in a space which is rapidly evolving in a way that today's news is literally tomorrow's history, because things just evolve that way. And the technology is so immersive, and it's just, even though there's a lot of similarities to things that we currently do and operate with, and it facilitates transparency, at the same time, we have used and coined a lot of terminology that is very daunting for people. So when you have a mixture of that, you are going to get those who want to feel relevant trying to pretend like they know everything within the space, and harping on the terminology that a lot of people don't know about to make themselves feel bigger than what they are based on their insecurities. So that's where that comes on. As far as like crypto in itself and the blockchain, like it's technology and it's code. So as long as you're able to understand what you can do with the code, you're able to articulate it a little bit better. Just like we know that if we flip a switch on the house, there's going to be a light that's going to turn on. There's a cause and there's an effect. So it's more than just, oh, you have to learn the code, you have to learn this, you have to learn that. It's like, no, you just need to understand the possibilities that the blockchain allows us to do, and that it also allows for transparency, which is scary, just because when you have a transparent system, there's a lot of people that have been operating in the shadows that are no longer going to be able to operate there. So that's why I also see that there's a lot of pushback, especially from big institutions, including governments, just because they're not in the business of being transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, I had a question for you since you're here.
Sure.
I mean, this space is introductory to Web3 for individuals. What crypto Twitter usually socializes about what Web3 is, not really in technological sense, to that advantage point, what they think they can do. One of the languages, computer languages, of what we have for a standard, the ANSI, could you go into a little bit more detail about like how the American National Standards Institute controls what computer languages and how they interact with blockchain?
Sure. So some of you guys know who I am, others may not. So I'm actually one of those government guys. So I'm a senior technical executive for the government. I'm about to retire, and you know, my PhD is in computer science. My dissertation was using Kolmogorov's complexity to determine asymptotic complexity of a data set. So when we talk about how blockchain technologies and crypto algorithms and the different types of algorithms they use for encryption, those are things that I'm extremely familiar with at the 0-1 level. What I'm not familiar with is how humans interact with each other, because that's what confuses me. So, you know, that's, so I got what my dude project was saying. It is an insecurity and they want to know something. But if you don't know something, please read, because when you say things that make absolutely no computer systems follow the laws of physics, right? And if you're saying something that does not conform to the laws of physics, then you don't know that, that's really at that point, I usually just turn off and stop talking to the person, because it's just nothing that they have to say that I'm going to listen to at that point, right? So let's talk about standards. That's the question that Kit asked. So at the Department of Defense, when I was working for the Department of Defense, I was the U.S. representative to W3C, to NIST, and to EyeSight, NICE, and I forgot what the other standards body was. So basically what happens, you have all these institutions, like educational institutions, you have these companies like Microsoft and Oracle, and you have government entities, they all come together. And of course, you know, so you have industry, education, academia, and government come together, and they form a body around a standard. And so this is how these programming language came about, because basically back in the 70s, before the internet came about, around, interoperability was a big problem. And what I mean by that is, if I write a document in FoxPro, which is a database that was on a DOS system, and I wrote a, it was ABI something that was on Novell NetWare, which was a seven, it was another DOS system, but it was a Novell's DOS system. And basically it's your command prompt and that's it. If I wrote something in one of these file formats and brought it to another system, you couldn't read it. It didn't know how to decipher it. So basically the computer machine itself is really good at adding, subtracting, multiplying. And by the way, when a CPU multiplies, it just adds it that many times. So it's just adding and subtracting, basically. And it's a different combination of rows and logic gates. So the computer knows the zeros and ones, but where it starts getting fuzzy is the hardware that's on the systems that were so different that they needed different drivers to be able to utilize these things. And so they had different ways that they stored data. You know, if you had a 64-bit system versus a 16-bit system, they could not communicate with each other. Today, it's not so much a problem because we have these standards bodies that have come together, and you sit around at somewhere, like the last one I went to was pretty awesome. I went to Geneva and, no, Belgium, there you go.
You went to
Belgium. Yeah, I think it was Belgium. Yeah. I went to Geneva the time before, California, and then Belgium. Belgium was the last one I did before I rotated off of the, you know, as the US rep. And so this you know, doing that, you go there with these people from around the world, and you're basically negotiating what you think the standards should be. You're negotiating how the zeros or ones are going to travel through the system. Okay, if I hit this little A on my keyboard, what does that actually do when it sends a signal down the peripheral to the bus across the, you know, the instruction set architecture? It's on the CPU. Those are things that are standards. That's what we've done over the last 60, 70, 80 years. It's kind of like here in the US, we have 120 volts or 118 with 60 hertz, you know, for the your power. And if I take my laptop and plug it straight into, if I go to, let's say, Emirates, which is a 220 and 30 hertz, the 220 will pop my laptop, just catch it on fire. So, you know, you have different standards for around the world that people agree to so that things can work together. And so that's the basis of standards bodies. So when it comes to programming languages, you have, you know, your generation one programming language. The original programming language is zeros and ones, right? So it's machine learning, it's machine. And then you have assembly, you have, so the assembly language is basically using EEPROM programmer, which is like a keyboard, but it also has, you know, it's like a numbers keyboard, but instead of, you know, the rounded numbers, you also have A, B, C, D, E, and F. And each one of those are signals. So you're sitting there writing the code out on a grid paper, and you're like 1, 1, 1, 15, A, E, 5. Okay. And then you just printed you program your computer to be able to take a bit from one side of the computer, look at it, add it with another bit that comes from the same side of the computer, and then places it into a memory register. But all that was done through, the original program of the chips. So now we have chips that are extremely advanced. Instruction set architectures have so much stuff in there. It does it for us, it speeds it up. By the way, I know the person, go ahead, Kit, just interrupt.
Well, I love what you're
too deep.
It is. Sorry. And I love hearing it, but you're perfectly fine. I just want to make sure that we do a recap as we go along so people understand that, you know, because this is about verbiage and definitions, and people that are coming in for adoption purposes, you know, they don't care about the complete tech. History is my thing. I love technology and how it interacts. Understanding what the ABI means. The B is for binary. I forgot what the A stands for, but binary right. interface.
Right.
And you're referencing to the drives, the chips, and so forth, of how things can actually interact with one another, because everybody has a different form of interface. And that's kind of the same issue that we're having as of today with blockchain. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to bring this up, and just referencing back to why this topic in this conversation is so important, is that we don't have a standard language and committee members to discuss things in a constructive way with, you know, just to find out how adoption will work, because nobody wants to know the inner workings. Everybody just wants to know it will work. So please go ahead. Oh, project. And then Robert, please continue.
Appreciate it. Like, as somebody who is not techie, because I myself am not techie whatsoever, so I wouldn't be able to tell you how to code or how to read code or how to program or anything like that. But if we're talking about terminology for those who are new into the space, like, let's take, for example, blockchain. Right? Like, you can get into the terminology of, oh, well, computer does blocks and blah, 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 blah with mathematical code. And then it's like the easiest way to explain it would be just think of thousands of computers who all talk to each other at the same time and verifying when a certain token is created. And they all come into a consensus that is the first original token of its kind. So if somebody tries to duplicate that code, like duplicate that token, the code cannot be duplicated. And when they try to enter into the ecosystem, you already have thousands of computers that have verified which is the correct one because it was the first one. And therefore, they're going to reject that new computer trying to come in, right?
Generally,
almost.
Yeah, generally, yes, but that's not blockchain itself. Yeah. Why do we need blockchain with that definition? Because in general, the current servers and hardware development that we currently have does the same, but the problems that we're trying to solve with blockchain is
higher.
Lost the stinking word, immutable.
All right. So I'm going to jump forward. The reason I started at the history is because that's what sets everything up to be able for us to come together and put together a body that actually can do this type of work. And so in the space, there's a lot of new folks in the space. And I hate to say it, there's a lot of IT people. By the way, I am not an IT person. If you want me to configure something IT-wise, you're fucked. If I need to configure someone's email, we are in trouble. It is doomsday. It is the apocalypse happening, right? So there's a series of arrangements and understandings between countries that we have in these standards bodies, which enable us to come together to do this. For blockchain to start their standards body, first and foremost, they would have to stand up a charter with the National Institute of Science and Technology. So it's not something we could just do on our own legally. It's something that we have to do through a standards body. And there's actually standards bodies out there working on this who know nothing about the community. So you have the community people who don't understand how to bring together a standards body, and you got the standards bodies out there doesn't understand what we're trying to do as a community. And so you kind of got that disconnect between the two. So that's why I started with that, because there is a process by which to stand up a body to do this type of work. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing anybody in the space taking the lead. And by not taking the lead to do that, you're going to have the government take the lead, and it's going to be something that's going to be pretty much unworkable for the, you know, for what the technology is. Was that?
Yes. And as far as regulators not knowing much about the technology, but they are big on verbiage and changing the definitions and defining and finding loopholes because they are so flexible at this point in time.
Right. And they're making up words. I was in a meeting today with someone's making up words. I'm like, where did that come from? Oh, we think it's what we should use. And I'm like, well, here, let me Google this. There's this thing called the Webster's Dictionary. And look, it's right there. So why are we making up a word that's already in the dictionary? And
yeah.
So, but that's what government does. And so, again, I think there's a big disconnect between the actual community of practice, which is us in the Web3 and the people here on the phone and on the space, and the people who are who are in the authoritative positions. But what they don't realize, self-sovereignty comes out of this blockchain technology. They no longer have the central authority because it's decentralized. But it's something they have not quite understood yet. And it is unfortunately going to be some time before we work this out. So hopefully the governments don't get involved too soon. And hopefully we as a community of practice can come together and kind of, get ahead of this.
That's exactly, you just hit a home run on that one. Because that was my point coming across with American National Standards and, you know, the OSI and the ISO, which OSI stands for there's an Open Systems Interconnection and then International Organization for Standards. So I'm guessing when you were talking about Geneva or Belgium that you were going to the ISO.
Yes, because mm-hmm. I was the U.S. rep. So, and again, I've written standards. So the NIST Risk Management Framework, you're welcome. Or if you don't like it, I'm sorry. So these are you know, so writing government policy is something I've done for the last 15 years. And this technology and what it does and what it's capable of doing is never, there's never been something like this before. So let's go back and I'm gonna pick on you a little bit, Project, because I'm gonna go in a little bit more how the blockchain actually works, a little bit deeper.
Well, let's get his consensus. Project, are you scared?
Well, it's not that I'm scared. It's that when we're explaining it to somebody who is brand new to the space, again, we want to use terminology that they are used to, that they're able to understand.
I'm going to do that for you. And it's going to be correct. It's going to be 100% correct, and it's going to be easy. So blockchain has a couple of technologies that come together, and that's what causes the thing blockchain. You have an encryption algorithm, and you also have a public-private key. Those two technologies come together, and you take data, you encrypt it on that block, and you, with that public-private key, and then it's chained from one block to another block, which is also encrypted on that chain with a public-private key. And that continues. That's your blockchain.
Okay. So this is the thing. And this is where I give a little bit of pushback with that type of explanation. You've already raised questions. Okay. So what is a block? What is a private key? So it's like by you describing it that way, you're raising more questions that are needed. Like, again, the whole point of being able to explain it to people is to simplify it for them, not to create more questions and confusion. So I've been into crypto for about 9, almost 10 years. I've done deep dives into it. I understand how the actual blocks work, the consensus algorithms. Like I've done all of that. The reason that I explain it this way is because for those who are not in this space, for those who have not spent years studying and researching how crypto works or the actual inner mechanics of each individual blockchain, because not every blockchain is created equally, they all have a specific function and they all serve a different purpose within their ecosystem. So for those who have not studied this and have not actually like done research and spent hours upon hours of time diving into the subject matter, like your explanation raises more questions than it answers, and therefore it causes confusion. Like for me, the easiest way that I've found to be able to ease them into it is by actually simplifying to them to the most common denominators, things that they are already aware of, and things that they're going to be like, ah, okay, I know how this works. It's not that scary. Once they dip their toe into it and they want to dive deeper and they want to learn more on how it works, then that would be up to them. But the end user doesn't need to know all of that inner mechanics of how actually the blockchain works. They just need to know that it works.
Some of the things that we come across is people getting mostly hung up and confused of what centralization truly is and decentralization is. Technology in general is decentralized, is the ability for someone to harness that tech and turn it into a form of centralization. And those certain governing bodies, not saying government, is the control that causes it to be centralized. So hard to explain to people and why it's important to learn a little bit of tech, because the wave of the future and the momentum it takes is not for trying to cause confusion, but understanding the roadmap that it is going to turn into and what the theoreticals of what they could continue on and apply it to in the future. But let's just take it back a little bit more then. And Project, what are some general questions that you get when people jump in? Not saying crypto Twitter, but jump into just crypto in general. My main one is like, is it Bitcoin? And then I have to go into the whole history of monetizations and blah, 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 blah. So what's the things that you come across?
So the first question, because I had to explain it to my mom, and this is the way that I explained it to them. So they're like, so what is this Bitcoin thing? Is that like a coin? I'm like, yes, it's like a coin. It's like money, but it's digital. So there's two different types of coins or tokens, per se, right? You have fungible tokens, which are, you know, the ones that we already know of. Bitcoin, Ethereum, ADA, you know, Stellar Lumens, like, and I'm using this, like, going a little bit deeper into other different types of tokens, because we know about them, or at least I hope we've heard about those, right? And then you have non-fungible tokens, also known as NFTs. And then the next question is, are those picture things that people are talking about? I'll be like, well, a little bit. Because technically they're both tokens, just one, it comes to the meaning of the word fungible and non-fungible. So for example, Bitcoin is a fungible token. It's like if you have a dollar and I have a dollar and we exchange them, we still have $1, right? She goes, yeah. I'm like, okay. So if you have one Bitcoin and I have one Bitcoin and we exchange them, we still have one Bitcoin. She goes, uh-huh. And I'm like, and each Bitcoin is going to be worth the same amount regardless of who holds it. She goes, okay. And I'm like, the difference is that a non-fungible token allows for each individual token to have a different value, which is going to be based more than just what the community determines the value of that collection to be, but rather more the individual's emotional attachment that they have towards that token. And then I gave her the example of my project, because since I'm very passionate about combat sports, and my version one of Project 1010 deals with a lifetime membership to all of the gyms that are going to be built worldwide, as well as other things that are included, I hold a higher value to that token that somebody who doesn't really care about combat sports, MMA or jiu-jitsu. If they're just looking for the flip, they would buy it at the floor and try to sell it for a profit, whatever, whether it's 1x, 2x or whatever amount they're trying to sell it at to make a profit. For me, like if this was now my project and I was just holding this asset, that gives a lifetime membership. Since now I'm able to sell my lifetime membership, somebody would have to offer me a ridiculous amount of money for me to part ways with it. So it allows for each individual token to have their own value.
I'm just gonna say that your definition still went through the same confusion of words, communicating with somebody, because that it generally causes a bias structure in trying to, I'm not saying coax, but you're talking through a structure of your own personal mindset, and that causes them, whoever it is, to not understand what, you know, to them, crypto is Bitcoin, right? They then associate to one item, and tokens or coins and so forth is trying to explain how the world is, what they can currently relate it to, and say, okay, we have multiple currencies, different countries you go to, and you have to have a conversion rate, right? That's what a coin is, but it's digitized. And the digital is not a messenger, it's the asset itself and the digital portion messenger associated to it. And there's different forms of it. And tokens, you know, those individual businesses you go to, it's like going to an arcade. You can get that particular business structure. You can get tokens to utilize their games, but you can't go across the street and go to another arcade. So you have to cash it in. And then you can go into talking about all the different things of what an NFT is, a security is, and so forth. But things that people can associate to is where we're getting our definitions a little bit misconstrued, and the bias answers are causing more confusion within the space.
So a couple of things. The way that you explain it to somebody really would depend on what that person values, because you're able to use what they value to kind of relate it to them. The reason that I use this, and that's why I said the way that I explained it to my mom, is because like like she see, like she understands kind of like what I've, like she's seen me grow within the business that I'm building, and she understands how a gym works, and she understands US currency. She doesn't understand other people's currency, right? She doesn't understand the whole global economic system. So I have to explain it to her in a way that she's going to be able to understand. If I'm explaining it to somebody who's a sports fan, I would use a terminology more like, if you're gonna go to, if you have a lifetime member, like lifetime access to go see the Jets game, right? Now you're able to actually sell that, you're gonna hold more value for that than something else. But I would still use their native currency because that's what they would understand. So if I'm speaking to somebody who's from Colombia, I would use Colombian pesos. If I'm talking to somebody in Europe, I would use the pound. If I'm talking to somebody in Canada, so it, for me, it's more based on, I would relate it to what they currently use on an everyday basis, and for that I would have to talk to them a little bit to get to know them better, so I can understand what they value, so then I can use what they value as an association to crypto. Because for me, crypto is nothing more than just an extension of what we already do in the real world.
I understand your point, and I appreciate you coming up and, you know, giving a perspective in this discussion, because this is what we need, and the whole purpose is trying to disassociate, or yeah, take away the bias portion of it being for the game rather than the teams. And what crypto is, it's a currency, it's a technology. It can be used for monetizations, it can be a security, so forth. But associating it to a specific currency, pounds, euros, and so forth, is the same as if, because I associate it to the currency of countries, right? And we get narrow-minded being in America or in the United Kingdom and so forth, to not be associating what is going on in a world economic system. We're more focusing on the macros of our economics rather than the micros. And the problems we're trying to solve as now is currency with the tech. Robert, are you currently back? And give him a little bit more of a moment, but
I couldn't get off mute. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here and hitting mute button and it won't go off.
Well, welcome back. Now that you got some a break and feedback to listen to of the mindset that we're trying to get a message across, could you please continue?
Sure. So the thing is, all definitions are wrong, some are useful. I paraphrase that because Professor Bach said that. He was a statistician, and he said all models are wrong, but some are useful. And so the thing is, we use definitions to scope a problem, to try to explain something to somebody who has no knowledge. And you said something before that was really important, Kit, was bias. And the thing is, you from a I'm a scientist. So from a scientific point of view, you try to interject as little bias as possible. Because once you interject bias, then you skew the outcome. So all definitions are wrong, some are useful. And that's why, explain and make up definitions for Web3 technologies. You know, whatever it takes to onboard people, that's awesome, but you have to be careful. If you're going to talk about DeFi, if you're going to talk about finances, and you're not a financial advisor, you don't want to put yourself in that situation. I don't. Anything I say has nothing to do with financial advice. Anything I say has nothing to do with legal advice. Now, if you need something with product ownership and application design and coding, I'm the person for you. So as a society, Web3 technologies are going to enable us to find self-sovereignty. And what that means is that we have, the world is very unfair, you know, and universe doesn't care. But the way that the system around the world is, it's set up for a few to be extremely successful. And all disclosure, I'm one of those few who have become extremely successful. I've worked, I'm a boomer, by the way. I'm kids like 2 years older than my son. I think you're in your 40s, right, Kit? You don't have to go all the way. You don't have to go all the way. Just say almost.
Yes, I'm in my, yes, I'm Gen X.
Okay. So my son is too. So that, you know, well, no, I guess, yeah, he would be X. He's like a later X. But the thing is, it was easier for me to buy my first house than it is for my son. It was easier for my parents to buy their first house. The first house, I think my dad told me, it was like $4,200 for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath Cape. And I looked at the car my dad had bought in 1972, because I'm now into classic cars. He paid $3,200 or $3,100 for this car. And I'm trying to buy the same car, and it's like $49,000. You know, of course it's updated. So monies have increased. Our salaries have pretty much remained the same. It's harder to get an education. This is harder for anybody to get around and, you know, get by. And so this technology is enabling us to become decentralized. And what does that actually mean? I like what Project said, what he's doing with his MMA gym, right? That's, you own this NFT, you train. Are you into the Gracie system? Profit, that was for you, Project, that was for you. Are you into the Gracie system?
Yes, I am.
Is the Gracie brothers going to get into the same thing? They're going to use this same NFT?
I'm so sorry. Repeat the question, because I did not hear you.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm saying, you know, you're doing this NFT to get training. Is the rest of the Gracie brothers going to participate? Is that going to be something that's, because right now, if you're a member, you got your card, you can go train any dojo around the world.
Any of the gyms that are built through the OPN.
Yeah.
Conglomerate. Now, currently, I my head instructor, we come from the Gracie lineage, which his name is. So it's not just Gracie's. You also have Mitsuyo Maeda, which is the one that actually brought jiu-jitsu into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right? So there's a whole lineage that goes along with that. And my professor is directly within that lineage, but I don't have a direct access to the Gracies.
Okay, that's fine. It's okay, because I actually, my sensei was straight out of Japan, so it's not, I have no association with the Gracies either, but I did train with them when I was deployed. So the thing is, you know, that has value. So you're creating the ability to, you know, use that as a way for instructors to manage their schools. Right now,
correct.
Right now, you if you're managing your school, you're collecting dues, you're paying taxes, you're doing all this stuff. But if it's an NFT, it's in a different category. And so you're keeping more money for the creator, which would be the you know, the senseis of the and the gym owners, versus you know, paying taxes and doing, and you could also, you know, that one Genesis NFT is the entire business of your dojo. And you can mint off of that with a lineage to your students, who then can open schools. You know, so that's part of what I mean by self-sovereignty. It means that we can take the power away from the centralized government, the centralized banks, and just be able to, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool if I could just flip my phone up here and say, okay, Nearfield, okay, here's my ETH. And you go, well, here's your NFT. Welcome to the family. And how much did that cost in bank fees? How much did that cost in overhead? How much, you know, so it reduces the cost, which is one of the characteristics of NFTs, or blockchain is costless. Doesn't mean it's going to be completely costless, but it's going to cost less. The idea is, if I can reduce the amount of services and people I need to do to get something done, that's going to reduce the cost. So let's cost less. The other thing that you have is called immutable. Sorry. Immutable means once it's written to the ledger, it's written to the ledger for everybody to see. It's public. It's immutable. So now you have immutable, you're costless. And in the process of reducing the cost, the way that you do that is reduce the friction. And by removing middlemen, women out of the supply chain. So this enables people who have products or services that they offer. And they have a dojo, they have a gym, they're going to teach. So you're eliminating a lot of middlemen. You know, this is what the power of this technology is going to bring. This is more so than just about the technology. The technology itself, yes, it's a tool. I agree with you 100%. You have different tools for the different jobs. I got a hammer, we'll call that Bitcoin. I got a screwdriver, I'll call that Solana. I've got a wire clippers. I won't call that Luna because that brings flashbacks. But you know what I'm saying.
I completely agree. But it's not just for the teachers, for the senseis, it's also for the students themselves.
It's for everybody. It goes up. It goes down. It's the community. So you have a Genesis token. That's you. And then that Genesis token gets spread out to the entire community. And it's going to go to other teachers. It's going to go to other students. It's going to go to other schools. You know, you may even go over to those Taekwondo guys across the street and say, hey, look what I got for you. You know,
because definitely. Like that is actually the plan, is to be able to prove the concept in order to be able to then disperse it into other, not just gyms themselves, but other industries, just because this is something that, at least the way that I see it, every company, if utilized correctly, cannot just benefit from removing themselves from the regular standard financial banking system, but also providing more value to their community, to their quote unquote customers, because that, like, we're consumers. At the end of the day, we are consumers. We consume whatever, whether it's a product or whether it's a service, we're consuming it, right? So it's a whole it's an ecosystem, and we have to feed each other and help each other build each other up. So it's an all encompassing technology that allows for everybody within the community to flourish.
So February 3rd, write that date down, project, because that's I'll be open sourcing something that's going to enable all that for you. I'm giving the code to the world.
I still had to find your repositories. But one of the other things that kind of getting more at a surface, superficial portion of standardizing verbiage is, where do people go currently for education on what crypto is? And where does a lot of this kind of get lost in the sauce? Googles? Okay. When
people Googles that stuff, and then you got people here. I'm on crypto Twitter right now, just looking at some of the stuff going across the screen.
And a lot of that is being pushed in education form because crypto.com and Coinbase are very centralized, and whatever they are marketing is to benefit themselves. Correct. And then you have individuals, word of mouth, which is the fastest form of communication and education, on Reddit, Twitter. I don't know. Now it's kind of trickling into LinkedIn, and there's a
Instagram too. It's starting to like, I've seen a lot more people post on Instagram with it. But just before anything else, I did want to excuse myself for just a few minutes. I'll be back in about 9. But I just didn't want to be rude and leave. So I'll be right back.
I appreciate you, Project. You're welcome anytime.
So, believe it or not, I'm teaching a course at the university on blockchain. Dun, dun, dun. So if you go to different universities, that they're offering classes on blockchain. So some of it is about the business of blockchain. So if you go to the Sloan School of Business at MIT, when I did my executive MBA, that's the one there. They have an entire six-week course on blockchain from the business point of view. At where I'm teaching is the technical point of view, how to build a blockchain. So I'm going to have my students do a prototype of a blockchain from scratch in JavaScript using the Google encryption algorithms that they discontinued. You know, so it can't be used for a real blockchain because, you know, it's old, but it's also good enough to learn how these things work.
So could you repeat that. What language is again?
It's JavaScript because it's easy. And it's not something I would put in production.
I just had a crazy idea. What if they all spun up a blockchain on the cosmos?
Well, you know, we got enough people in Michael's space that they could probably do that because those guys are hard geeking geeks.
Yeah, using SDK.
Yep.
And IBC. Off the cosmos, same yep. as Terra Luna, Osmosis.
Oh, you could do Juno. That. You could mm-hmm. you can actually do that with the JavaScript class I'm teaching.
Exactly. That's why I just suddenly had to throw that out there because you could have a class project and actually do a student community-based blockchain in real life.
Yeah, but you can't do that in JavaScript because it's the libraries are older and they're well established, but they're also easy to we know where all the holes are, so I just use that as a learning, not anything I'll put in production. So it'll be on a test net. I might even put it on Solana's test net just for fun, see if I can.
I love that, and just I'll talk to you some other time separately on just poking fun and making jokes on that with some seriousness. But the one thing, you know, kind of circling back to the start of the space of getting to the point of like social media education, people end up coming in for trying to understand one of the turnoffs is over communication and the turnoffs of multiple definitions for one thing. And some people that do come into the space have actual in real life, you know, backgrounds that is financial, is legal, and they're just suddenly turned off with like, okay, this is not an actual hard definition that can actually hold up into like the, you know, law, into, you know, the Fed, blah blah blah. And also we're trying to create business entities into Web3 or Web 2.5, or whatever the frick you want to call it at this point in time. So the standardization of how we communicate to one another, standardization of our verbatims is very important. So that's the little bit of a room reset, but also trying to recap and move forward on some further topics. And hello, welcome back, Project. And Casey, I'm so appreciative of you making it to the space. That's two spaces in one day.
I'm getting around, kid. I'm making it happen. I'm grinding. How you doing?
Yo, hey, buddy. Casey. How's it going?
I am on my computer now, Casey. I am digging up that equation as we speak.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. Dude, I'm so looking forward to that. That makes me smile. I'm really looking forward to that one. So how goes the Web3 starter pack, standard verbiage and crypto language? How goes that?
Well, we've gone up and down on different point of views, which has plausible, debates. And I think we've come to a consensus that we have to accept that we're all biased in some form.
All definitions are wrong. Some are useful.
Exactly. So we're all wrong at this point in time, because in general, what we're building is a huge disassociated social construct, and the entire ecosphere is one giant theory that has not been tested.
I have a really humble observation. The recreation of the wheel in Web3 from the standard CeFi world is amazing. It's just the same thing with a different language, it seems.
What if I'm a cog?
Yes. That's what I was, yes. The Webster's, the Webster's says it's A, but we're going to come up with a new definition and we all agree it should be a Z. So that's what it is.
So the question I have, because I did bring up computer language standards, and there's an international American standard, yada, yada. The committee members, I was 1,300 committee members and the associations to vote on what is a standard. We don't have one for blockchains at this point in time. And we have to actually get our communities together to be able to socialize on a standard.
Well, NIST actually had a request for comments out. Did you, were they bringing people together? Because I got an email from them wanting to know if I want to be on that standards committee. So the government's putting, you know, they're making moves to do some of this.
Yes, I did see that, but still. They're also jumping the gun by causing a lot of regulations prior to any standard document talk. Sorry, I bit my tongue, and it was really bad when I was sleeping, and I can't control some of my words. but standard, I can't even say it. I can't get my D's or my G's or my L's. But you know what I'm saying. I'm done. I'm so
sorry. No, I got you. So like, they can't even use the same language and they're trying to make policies and procedures on it.
Well, they're going to do a lot of backpedaling. At this point in time, if you guys follow what American government and the Federal Securities and Exchange Division has been, they're just detrimentally fining all of these tokens and companies in crypto assets. And at the same time, following suit is like the UK did adopt the European, security and exchange standards. And it was, some of them were removed as of, what was it? December 3rd. I think it was December 3rd that they implemented new policies and so forth. But just all across the board before any standards have been implemented, it's a huge crap show.
Well, I think it goes down, a lot of it has to be with the definition or how they're defining crypto, and since it still has not been defined, and yet they're trying to regulate it. Is like, you can't regulate something that has not been defined. Therefore, the first thing that they would need to do is like get into that consensus of defining of crypto as the space as a whole, because it's like, you, the native token of a blockchain cannot be a security, and they're trying to make it so. And it's like, if that company or a major company that is utilizing that token falls, it's not the end of the token. The token will still continue to live within its own ecosystem because it's the native token to that blockchain. Therefore, it's not governed by that one centralized entity, which is the company itself that's trying to utilize the token. So they need to come into a consensus for defining crypto as a whole. And without that, regulation can't really be given.
A great case study is a little while back ago this year, they had a issue with the wormhole. They were trying to find the users for utilizing the technology. You can't necessarily, even to this day, go attack the technology unless it was against the standards. But there is no actual company entity to go after. So how would some form of standardization, I did it, help this issue? A lot of people get standards and centralization very confused.
Right. So standardization would mean that if you have a blockchain, that it would be built this way each and every time. So if you have a protocol, Bitcoin itself, if it was defined as a protocol, it means every time someone would build a Bitcoin-like chain, it would be the same. That's the standardization. You would write up, it would be this many long, it would be this many high, it would be this many wide, it would be purple, you know, whatever the attributes are. But right now, those attributes are pretty well defined because it goes to the physical limits of the technology. So there's not really a standard that you could do with that in that way. Now, how it's used, now that becomes something else, because now how you apply the block, you know, Bitcoin, that can have some different connotations. It can have different iterations. It could be, you know, so we can agree Bitcoin is going to be used as a gold replacement. Do you agree? Okay, awesome. Let's do that. And the reason is it's finite. At R, we're going to use the gold standard to represent each Bitcoin because Bitcoin's finite. Unlike the US dollar, which is the fiat that we use, we're running out of dollars, go print some more. You know, so that's what the, you know, that's the only thing that this, you know, this part of this, you know, when we talk about standard, that's going to be pretty much, you know, what that end up to be. But as for trying to regulate that, the regulation would probably come down from not trying to define it, but just because how it's used, because how it's used is already defined by the SEC. The security is defined as X because it's being used as Y. So if this Bitcoin is being used as X, therefore it must be Y. That's how the SEC is going to look at this. So again, these are, you know, still the people who are going to be doing this work do not understand the technology, do not understand what decentralization is, do not understand why their centralized views of the world is not going to work on their you know, how this technology is applied. But what one of the biggest problems that I see is that they're going to try to force something that's just not going to work for the community, or something they can't enforce, or, you know, by proxy, all of a sudden, well, in that case, no one could use it. And I don't know about you, if they kill cryptocurrency today for me, I'm leaving the States, because I that's half of my wealth is in crypto. I'm sorry, you try to eliminate my wealth, I'm out.
Go ahead, Casey. And also, Robert, don't feel like you can't have proper discourse with me in here because it's my room. And go ahead and call me out, like the definition of security. I understand it's already there. And I was just referencing to how we applied it, and you did cover all that.
Oh, I wasn't calling you out. You didn't say anything wrong. And if you did, I didn't hear it. So, and if you did, I would call you out.
I'm always wrong. That's the whole thing. Oh, I'm just a random internet person.
My wife tells me all the time how wrong I am. So sorry, I'm always wrong.
Casey, go ahead.
So, Rob, as I'm listening to you break that down, I'm like thinking they have to protect themselves against what amounts to a global bank run, right? So, because if you've got this decentralized, uncontrollable asset that everybody can yank their money out of your system, yeah,
fuck it, let the world burn. They haven't done a good job at it yet. We need a reset.
Well, yeah, we need a recession. And what comes after capitalism?
Reset. Reset.
Well, reset, but this, yeah. But.
Decentralization is what comes next. But no, Casey, go ahead. I was just being a smartass.
I'm good. It's interesting, you know. If you do look at it as like an opponent type of scenario, it's good to see your opponent. And if you recognize that they're like, oh shit, this is a threat against our survival, we're going to do everything to make sure this shit fails. It's an interesting view, you know, just as not like just to see the situation. That's interesting.
Well, my whole thing is why I'm so bullish on, blockchain technology and beyond is, yeah, we do need a reset. We need a forced recession at this point in time. And right now we're in a capitalistic economy. And what comes after is a form of maximalist, which is an economic theory. And we're seeing it in the politics at this point in time.
Would you describe that, Mac? I'm unfamiliar. What is maximalist?
It's basically communism, taking radical actions, by political goals.
So this actually comes from conflict theory. So if you look at conflict theory, you have a spectrum. So it's from cooperation to full blown war, and in between those stages, you have from capitalism to communism. And so there's steps along the way that have characteristics that makes it switch to one or the other. So and we're in capitalism, but we're unbridled capitalism, which means I'm going to make money at the cost of my fellow humans. And that's been where we've been since the founding of this country. But it's also given us the innovation why we have innovated as the United States has. But now we're coming towards the end of our republic. And I'm not saying that to say, as a doomsayer or a prepper, but republics run their gamut. They have a time. And then as that they come towards the end of the time, like Rome, like Greece, the history has shown over and over that these types of government kind of degrade. It's entropy. It's natural entropy over time. And now we're in the point that we're starting to see that. And the reason we can see it is because we got this thing called the internet. And we got people from all over the world stepping up and saying, hey, Mr. Government Man, I'm not liking what you're doing. Look what's going on in Iran. Look what's going on in China. Look what's going on in our country. All around the world, you have people who are standing up to people who are in power and saying, listen, we've had enough. We can have capitalism, but we can also have fairism. So maybe we don't want to have corporations anymore. We can only have a public benefit corporation, which means whatever you do has to have some sort of public benefit. I would invest in that. Many of us would. If you're not benefiting the public, then maybe that's the reason you shouldn't be in business. We're providing services. Amazon can't have every, it's kind of like what's that movie, Idiocracy? Everything's in Costco now. You only have Costco. You don't have anything else. So again, this is, I think at the project said, it's human nature. And so we're tired of being, and I'm saying this as we, as being put into a place where we have to struggle so much in a world where things should be so much easier. And kid, I can't post because I'm 2 minutes late to a meeting, so I got to roll. I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't paying attention.
I appreciate it. And actually, I try running these spaces only an hour. And I had a little bit of a delay in my Twitter space. So I had to reschedule at 8:30. We're on the hour. And I love this conversation to continue it for a little bit more, but I will be closing the space out pretty soon.
And Casey, before I go, I dropped that paper for you, but I'm getting ready to drop my equation as a picture on a tweet. So and people are going to go, what the hell is that? But you'll know what it is.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. And for the conversation as well.
I appreciate you guys, and I will see you on the flip side. Let's go get some work done. OG out.
Thank you so much. KC, how would you feel about that feedback? Did it just destroy your point of view?
No, not at all. Not at all. This is great. I love the conversation. I'm constantly defaulting to the question, okay, so what do you do? You know, all right, yeah, the world's going to shit, things are crazy. Ever since we went off the gold standard and agreed to sell the American soil as a capitalistic playground for world dealings and incorporated everything into it. Yeah, the concept of like selling and marketing, even when it hurts somebody, definitely feels like it's ringing the truth bell. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna end up recapping about earlier in the space. I was bringing up the format of what committee members, blah blah, was. Not gonna go through the whole spiel again. But the point I'm trying to make across, what can we do at this point in time, is to communicate, create some form of standard language for how we appropriate and advocate for this technology and how we utilize it, which is in monetizations, because that is still in the works. And whether or not we're seeing, okay, this is a security, this is this, this and that, we already seen for the United States, the Fed redefine what security is for what they do know blockchain is currently, but it can be rewritten. And we have the ability at this point in time to still submit our voices. And Robert, who just left, who took the floor for the most part, because the longer I talk, the more I can't talk. he has been invited to the ISO, which is the International Standards Committee for Languages. And it's not just computer languages. It's about the hardware, the software, the FCCD, which is, I forgot what the acronym stands for, which is the, like, how, what is utilized for, you know, computer wiring, tethering, blah, 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 blah. So right there, we're so early into the space. We're having a lot of hardships, but we are still building a future.
So communication, education, validation of ideas and theories, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. As I said before, you know, this is a scientific method at this point in time. We're so early that nothing is hard, and this is a theory that hasn't been put in place yet. But all right, guys, I think that will do it for today. Things to fester on, give you nightmares, maybe put a fire under you. I appreciate everyone that came in and in the future that is going to be listening in. If you have any future questions, feel free to message. If you have ideas and so forth, feel free to message, write questions. My DMs are open. And also, I do, underneath my handle, have a functional phone number, which is a voice over IP, which one of my projects I'm going to be trying to figure out is how to create a PBX voice over IP protocol for blockchain. So please follow Web3 Starter Pack, which is going to be running Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern time, bi-weekly in the future for more recipes. So thank you very much, guys. Take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Web3 Starter Pack, Standard Verbiage in Crypto Language, hosted by Kit Baroness, recorded on Thursday, December 8th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now, with Spark IBC enabled.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay, checking that replay. Sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays. So add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around 3/4 of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got 2 left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Spaces.